I'm on. Terrific. Yes, if you could take the Bible from the seat, please, and turn to page 1028. So the children have been in Sunday school. We're following on Sunday mornings through the Gospel according to Luke. So we've been looking at stories you might know from Christmas time about the birth of Jesus and the shepherds going to meet Mary and Joseph and other stories like that. And so the parents, the adults have been looking at that here on a Sunday. So we're doing the next passage in the Gospel according to Luke this morning. So it's from chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Let me ask for God's help for all of us. Loving Father, we thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that it is good to meet together and encourage each other as your people, to pray to you and sing about you, to hear your word and to think about it. Please help us understand. Please make our hearts glad and willing because of what we think about now. Amen. So verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went up to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep that Bible open there. We're going to be thinking about these words. I've got a picture to show you. There you go. You might recognize some of those people there. Recognize that man on the left-hand side with the dark hair. It's changed a bit since then. You might recognize some of those younger people as well. They're now parents, several of them. So that's me and my family. This is our first Saturday when we'd moved to London. What was it, 16 years ago, 17 years ago? And other people in the church that arranged that we'd go on this walk around the Jubilee Walk, which is in central London, and it takes you around some of the great buildings in London. So it was a lovely day. You can see very quiet early in the morning, not many people there. So we were walking around and talking with one another, and we got to the South Bank of London, where there are performers who do performances. I can't remember the name of it, when someone's silent and they do a mime performers. And the children were looking at the mime performers and going around. And John Joe, one of the children here, ran on ahead. But we were unaware of it. We thought he was in our group. It was only when we got to the end of that part of the walk and we sort of wanted to be together again, we realized we were missing a child. That was a big panic. We ended up having to call the police. And they helped us to look. It turned out, actually, that I found him. The police gave some really good advice. They said to our son, they said, if you get lost, go to the point or stay at the point when you were last with your parents. And just talk about this with your parents so that you understand and they understand that's what you're going to do at a point when you get separated. Very good advice. Karen wanted me to say, by the way, she wasn't on that walk, not on her watch. It was me who lost him. Anyway, we found him. It's a reminder to parents, we need to look after our children. And people have commented that nowadays people are overly protective about children from physical dangers, but not really worrying about online dangers, which can be more of a risk. But what we've got in the Bible, it's not a story about getting lost. And it's not a story about being a good parent. What I've just read is a story about Jesus. They went on a family trip. What they went on was called the Passover. So it was a festival, a gathering for God's people. They all travelled up to Jerusalem, not to look at the buildings like we had done in London, but to celebrate and remember God rescuing them. Jesus kept those festivals. He kept the Old Testament festivals, but then he finished with them because he brought about a greater rescue. And so we don't celebrate Passover. Each week we remember the rescue that Jesus has brought about when he died on the cross. After the festival, they go home again. But Mary and Joseph, his mother and stepdad, they're not aware that Jesus had stayed. They think they were in a big group, and they think, well, he must be in the group somewhere. Perhaps they were separate, and they each thought, yeah, Jesus is with Mary. No, Jesus is with Joseph. You know, they didn't realize until the evening. And then they have to go back to find him. And it might have been the third day after they had set off home in that group. So they set off to go back home. It took them a whole day's walk. At the end of that whole day's walk, they realize Jesus is not here. So a whole day to walk back again, and then it's on the third day they find him. It might well be that's what it means by after 3 days. They can't telephone. They can't send a text message. They're not rich enough to get a horse to ride there more quickly. So they have to walk a whole day back, probably wandering all the way. But then they find him. Where did they find him? In the temple. That's right, in the building that's the representative of God's palace. And what's he doing? Listening to the teachers, yeah. So that is verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking questions. Asking questions is a very good way to learn. It's also a very good way of showing understanding. Verse 47, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and also his answers. His parents, they're astonished. Here's my astonished picture. They're astonished by what he's doing. They expected nothing like this. And Mary, his mother, tells him off. Verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Why have you done this? Well, Jesus, what he then says is a question or two questions to her. Verse 49. First question. Why were you searching for me? So Jesus is, in that question, he's saying, you didn't need to search, you should have known where I would be. Where should they have known he would be? Top of the next page. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Well, no, they didn't know. They should have known. Jesus said, you should have known that. So it wouldn't have been hard to find me, but it seems you didn't know. And it's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? She said, your father and I have been anxious and searching. He said, I was in my father's house. That's a surprise. Verse 50, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then it ends, verse 51, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus lives a truly good human life. He goes with his human, he goes with his parents, and they go back and live in a not very special town. Now, he is this great, wise teacher, but he lives in a very unspecial place. Nazareth, we know from other bits of the Bible, is not well thought of. This is not a story about getting lost. This is not a story about being a good. This is a story about Jesus. Luke has written his book in the Bible about different things that have happened, and he's putting them together. He's told about different people who've had messages from God, and all of this is to make us sure about Jesus. We can be sure of the message of Jesus. And now, as we've read through all of chapters 1 and chapter 2, at last Jesus says something, and the first thing Jesus says is, I am the Son of God. And I had to be doing his work. So he says here simply, I am the Son of God. I've come from God. I had to be doing his work. I had to be in his palace explaining to the teachers what they don't really know, because I know it better than them. So we can be sure of the message of Jesus, because here now Jesus is agreeing with what the other messages have been about him. He's saying, yes, I am God's son, and I'm here to do God's work. So two lessons for us from this story. The first lesson is Jesus is God's son. Jesus is at work in Jesus. God is at work in Jesus. So I'll say that again properly. Jesus is God's son, and God is at work in Jesus. We can be sure of that. But second, like Mary and Joseph, we might not understand everything about Jesus. His words and teachings are not always easy to understand. If they didn't understand, we must not be surprised if we do not understand. When we find it amazing, beyond understanding for us, that is normal. We'll just go over those two lessons again. The second one I'm going to talk a bit more about. So firstly, Jesus is God's son. He says, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? If we want to know God, we need to look at Jesus. He is the one who's come from God to bring God's work about, to bring about this new rescue that was better than any other rescue of God's. We can be sure God is at work in Jesus. We need to keep reading on Sundays what Luke has told us about Jesus. What more great wisdom can we learn from Jesus? What more will doing God's work mean for Jesus? That's why Luke is getting us to think about this here. Let's learn more about Jesus, because he is where God is at work. But what about not understanding? In a way, it's a reassurance, isn't it, that even Joseph and Mary, they've had so much. They've had messages from angels. Elizabeth had given a special message to Mary. The shepherds had come in from the field saying they'd seen angels, and they had come to give a message about the baby. Then when they'd taken the baby to Jerusalem before, Simeon and Anna, the people in the temple, had spoken about Jesus. Why don't Mary and Joseph understand still? One thing it shows us is Mary is not a savior. She can't be a savior, can she? She doesn't understand. She needs a savior like us. Could we have the next point on the board here? Salvation is not by what you know. We're not found by God and brought into his family because we know enough right answers. Because they didn't know doesn't mean they're still lost from God. Can I have the next line? Salvation is not by what you know, but by whom, about who you trust. Okay, and that's that. Isn't that comforting for us as Christians? Am I trusting the right person? There's so much I don't know. So many parts of this big book, the Bible, that I still have to learn to understand better. But do I trust Jesus? If I do, I'm not lost from God. I'm found. I'm in his family. And as we read on in Luke, the people who come to Jesus are not always the people who know the most. The people who come to Jesus are the ones who know that they need help. I'll say that again. The people who come to Jesus are not the ones who know the most, but they're the people who know they need help. Don't worry when there are things you do not understand. But do be sure that God is at work in Jesus. We can be saved not by what we know, but by whom we trust. Next line, please. But we can know God more and more. That's why on a Sunday we keep opening the Bible, we keep reading the Bible. Please do keep asking questions. That is a great way to learn. Keep coming to growth group. Or if you can't come to growth group, discuss the Bible with your friends another way. It takes time to understand more. It can take struggle to understand more. It can take suffering in our own lives to really understand God more. Do you believe that? It can take time. It can take struggle. It can take suffering to really know God. But we can get to know him more. So the next line, please. Keep going to get to know him. So salvation is not by what you know, but by who you trust. We can get to know God more and more. So keep getting to know him. And then third thing. But we can't fully know God. We can't know everything about God for two reasons. Because of our sin and our smallness. So the first one, because we're sinners. Sin stops us from knowing God. See, the problem is not that God is making it difficult and hiding and trying to confuse us. That's not the problem for us. The problem with sin is a way of thinking. It says, I don't want to know God. I don't want to know about, I don't trust him. So it's like you saying to me, Joel, look at that light. And I say, I can't see the light. And you say, look at the light. Lift your head up. I'm lifting my head up. I still can't see the light. Because I'm looking in a box. If we avoid God, we're not going to get to know him, are we? And if in our lives, if we're happy to have sin in our lives, we're choosing to practice sin, what we're choosing to do in those actions is we're also choosing to avoid God. No surprise that we don't understand him. Because we keep choosing, we're going here, and we're saying, well, I'm going to look for him there. You're never going to find him there, because you're looking in a way that's avoiding him. So our sin stops us from knowing God. But even if we were to clean up our lives and be free of sin, there's another problem. It's our smallness. Can we have that on the board? There we go. We are very small in God's universe. We cannot know everything about God, the creator of the universe. Karen told me this week, she's reading in a book about how big the universe is. If we were to make a map of the galaxy, don't know what I did there. So if we make a map of the galaxy, of all the stars in our part of the universe, that was as big as the whole of Africa, So he made a map on Africa, our part of the galaxy where we have our sun and the planets where we are would fit in this coffee cup. Can you believe it? That is how big the galaxy is. The galaxy, if you shrank it down to the size of Africa, it would shrink down our bit, the sun, planet Earth, Mars, Jupiter, and so on, into this. And we are just on one of those planets in that little cup. How small we are. So how on earth do we think we can understand the God who's made all of that? No way. So sometimes people, when I talk to people about what the Bible says, they complain, it doesn't make sense. And actually, what we've got here for is Mary speaking to Jesus, and it doesn't make sense. What does he mean? I'm in my Father's house. How can God be in this boy? And really, it can't make sense, can it? It can't make sense to us to understand God because he's so much bigger than us. I don't want a God that makes sense completely to me. I hope you don't. Because he would be a very small God if I could understand him completely. So do you see there's a goodness in that? That as Mary comes and she speaks to God the Son and he says something that she doesn't understand, well, she will grow in her understanding as she suffers, as she learns more. But she'll never know God truly and fully, because none of us can, because we are little people and he is a great, great God. So you're not, as we learn from this story, you're not saved because you know everything about the Bible. You're saved because you trust Jesus. That's what the Bible is teaching you. Trust Jesus. You can know God more. Keep reading the Bible, praying. Put it into practice in your life, and you will know God more. But you won't know everything about God, because sin infects our thinking. And because we're so small, we can never know him truly. Well, if someone asks you tomorrow, what did you do at the weekend? I went to church, heard a talk. What was the talk about? You might be able to say to me, it was a talk that said, God is so much greater than us. We can't understand all about him. But we do know he's good. I've got a couple of prayers on the slides now. Here's one for us as a church. I'll read it. Almighty God, your Son came for your work. Make us a church where we listen to him and change what we find is wrong in us. We will keep listening to your Son and his servants in the Bible. Help us to do that even when it shows wrong in us. Change our wrong thinking about you. So if you'd like to pray that, please pray it with me now. Almighty God, your Son came for your work. Make us a church where we listen to him and change what we find is wrong in us. We will keep listening to your Son and his servants in the Bible. Help us to do that, even when it shows wrong in us. Change our wrong thinking about you. Amen. And then a prayer for each one of us. Loving Father, I praise you that you are so much greater than I am. You are the creator. I am only a creature. You organize all things in history. I am only one person in your great plan. Thank you that Jesus has come so I can know you a little and can trust you. Help me to know you better and to trust more. Again, if you'd like to join me, let's pray that together. Loving Father, I praise you that you are much greater than I am. You are the creator. I am only a creature. You organize all things in history. I am only one person in your great plan. Thank you that Jesus has come so I can know you a little and can trust you. Help me to know you better and to trust you more. Amen. Sorry, I got a word mistake there at the end, but I hope you understood that was to trust you more. Great. Joel, let me hand back to you.